Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, so time to touch base with the Dream Team. And I gotta always think about how do I angle it a little different, because it's now the third time that I've sort of spoken to all three of you at one time. So we'll kick it off like this. I'm not gonna introduce you guys because you guys need no introduction at this point, really. But we're gonna go around the room, and I want to know, and we'll use this to set the tone, why it is that people that follow Dream Team are so authentic and so engaged with what you guys are doing. It's a level of engagement that your fans have that is unlike a lot of other people on the local entertainment scene. And I want you to tell me personally why you think that's so. Let's kick it off.
That's a dope question, by the way. we've never had that. I think because our music is like really authentic and true in itself, you know. We speak a lot of things that we live on a daily basis, a lot of experiences we go through, and I'm sure people relate to most of the things we talk about from three different individuals.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's someone that relates with someone else in the group, you know. So I think that's why people are really like authentically into Dream Team and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Dash.
Yeah, I agree with Sasso, man. I agree. But also, just to add, I think the one thing that we introduce to people is a lot of teamwork and family orientated stuff. Like, it's beyond the music, you know. We talk about our family and our friends in the music. We talk about our own experiences, but also we live it, man. We don't create stuff. So when people put two and two together, whether it's the music, and then after you go on our social media and you realize that actually these guys, they live what they're talking about. They don't create stories. And, we like normal people, man. We don't act like celebrities. We don't push like this whole thing of like, no, we next level to everybody. It's just a matter of like, drop music, live a lifestyle that, you know, can maintain what you're all about. Be true to yourself and then your fans will relate.
Being authentic. Yeah, you guys are doing a good job.
Yeah. I think just to echo what they're saying, I think for me, the biggest thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, we're also just authentic people, man. Like we're individuals, obviously, but we're a team as well. And on both fronts, we're just authentic. If we're about teamwork, that's genuinely what we are. We're a team. We work together. But as individuals, people that have met us, people that have chatted to us will tell you that, you know, these guys are so humble or whatever. Yeah. We don't like to push the whole being humble thing because, you know, it must be genuine as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think for me makes people connect a lot more than maybe some other people. It's just the fact that we as well are just genuine about everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And now let's get into painting a picture of, you know, the South African music space, specifically the South African sort of hip hop space.
Yeah.
And where you guys fit into that. I mean, Cecil, what do you think it is that you guys bring to that picture of what SA hip hop is?
It's vung vung.
Yeah, what he said, it's vung vung. Well, I think we bring a whole lot of crazy different style because it's three different guys who have three different perspectives. So when we put those three things together, obviously something unusual is going to come through, you know, and different. So I think because we come from different families, we've been raised differently, but we all have like similarities, you know. So I think from there, things come through.
Yeah. I don't feel like, you know, we own certain things, but I think when we first came out, we were like one of the first people to actually sample quite old stuff, you know, bring back some of that old school stuff, you know, and a lot of people related with that. And then a few songs later, we brought in dancing, you know, and it was interesting to see that people in the industry started vibing with that and also doing it. You know, it was a Durban thing at first, and then it became like, you know, South African. So a lot of artists saw something in that, you know, and I think that's what the game is about. It's about, you know, learning from other people and also inspiring other people to go certain routes. So that's what I feel we brought to the game, more or less, the dancing and, you know, just bringing back that old school Kwaito feel.
Tell me about selling a lifestyle as opposed to just selling songs. And, it's, you know, this is what Kanye is doing so well. He kind of, he's about everything from creating apparel to an album that's more of an experience to all the different things that he's doing. This word lifestyle, I mean, are you musicians or are you kind of just people propelling a unique blend of lifestyle that is what yours is?
I think we fit into both categories, you know. At the end of the day, we are musicians. First and foremost, that's how we make, you know, our daily bread. That's where that comes from. But at the end of the day, it allows us to also become those individuals that, you know, kind of have a platform and people that actually look into the lifestyle that we actually live. And it provides you with the platform to actually then say, okay, cool. I've got these other things that I like to do. And if those people that are into you feed into that, then it grows your brand. And that's how basically we look at it. You know, we don't try and push, you know, things that we're not into. We don't like doing things that we don't like, you know, as individuals, because that must always come back to us and our brand. And that's where the authenticity of Dream Team comes in.
Yeah.
So whatever we're into, that's what you're going to see. If we like merch, you're going to see people know what we like to wear. People know, you know, like what colors we are, you know, affiliated with, because those are the things that we put out to people because they genuinely, that's what we like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think just to add in that, that's where music has gone to, you know, before all you got from an artist was music and then a live show.
Yeah.
That's what you got. But now the world is now based on the internet, man. You see more of them. You see interviews. You see them, you know, going to shows. You see their lifestyle, even to the point of reality shows. So it's, people look into more than just the music now. They want to know. And especially with hip hop, it's always been probably the case. It's like, if you rap it, you got to live it and you got to be about it and you got to, you know, dress it. And it's got to be you. You can't just pretend it and act like it's part of it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about giving. Each of you give a lot of yourself in the music. You give a lot of yourselves on social media. How do you begin to draw the line with how much is too much to give? I mean, I watch some people on Snapchat from the moment they wake up in the morning till the moment they go to sleep at night, they are giving so much of themselves. Mm. I now know, I was watching Pearl Toosey's Snapchat last night and I was thinking of this. I mean, I know that she went to the gym yesterday. Yeah. I know that she was training with some dude. Like, she gives a hell of a lot. And all of you, all three of you, do give a hell of a lot of yourselves, which you need to do in order to come across as authentic. Yeah. But do you ever have to draw a line in terms of how much you give and how much is just for you and the people close to you?
I don't really give out a lot.
Yeah,
me personally.
Yeah,
I'm, like, I'm very conservative. I don't even have Snapchat. I don't want to go as far as that. I mean,
oh, no, no Snapchat.
That's just too much for me. That's too much. I feel like spending time on your phone is... There's so many better things to do than just spending time on your phone, taking videos, showing people what you're doing, you know? So for me, I keep a lot to myself. If it's something we speak about, it's never, I never usually put it on like Twitter or Instagram and stuff like that.
So you keep it for the business side.
I think for me, just to, you know, bring the other side, it will vary from individual to individual. Like he says, he's not, like, he doesn't tweet that much. He just pushes, like, you know, work tweets. But I think for me, the moment it becomes too much is when you have to think about every situation that you're in as an opportunity to actually post something. I don't think about it that way. Like, if I want to tweet something, I'll tweet because that's what I want to tweet. I won't tweet something because, okay, it's going to be controversial or it's strategic. You know, I don't think about it that way. I think some people do, and that's fine for some people, but I think for me, I draw the line there. I don't want to be overly strategic about things that I'm doing. If I'm Snapchatting, it's because I'm laughing or whatever.
It's a genuine
moment. I'm not forcing everything. I'm not, you know, showing you, okay, I'm going to the gym now. Okay, wait, well, this is the trainer. Hold up, we're doing squats. Yeah, no, it doesn't get that hectic, you know.
I think with my posts, man, I get caught in the moments. Like, I always try and say, like, I don't want to share most of my moments, especially my special happy moments.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just strictly leave it to business. But sometimes something is just like, you just feel like sharing it, man, because it's good to you or it excites you. For instance, like if I'm chill with my niece and she does something that's really, really epic. Mm. I remember at first, you know, my sister didn't want me to post her much, you know. But it was like she did something epic, man. And I thought like other people should see it. So I'd share it, you know. And sometimes I feel like, you know, I have a folder of like a lot of things that I really, really dig, but I just never share.
Yeah.
But it's my stuff that I like looking at, you know, but I always feel like maybe I should just post it once or twice or something.
So at the top of this, we spoke about what it is that you guys do that people resonate so much with. And a lot of that is tied into kind of you guys having strong individual identities and strong senses of self.
Mm.
And I guess people are attracted to that because so many young people around the world, South Africa, every country, are really struggling in a day and age where we're told anything is possible to figure out, okay, cool, well then what is it that I want to do? So there's a lot of research coming out that, you know, all these Instagram posts of you can do whatever you want, believe in this, is actually overwhelming to a lot of people because then you feel like a failure if you're not doing something.
Yeah.
But figuring out what you want to do is one of the hardest things for a lot of people. And so they end up doing stuff they don't want to, or they're influenced by their parents.
Yeah.
In terms of unlocking your individual identities, what would you say to people that are trying to figure that out for themselves? And it's okay if you're trying to figure that out for yourself as well. But where do you guys sort of individually sit with that?
I think for me, it's a process of time. You can't rush it, you know?
Yeah.
If you haven't found yourself, I mean, you're going to continue to do things until you find yourself. And you mustn't rush that process. You just got to go through what you have to go through. And when you find yourself, you'll understand exactly what you want to do. You know, like for me, I did so many things before I started making music. And at the time, it felt like the right things. But when I found that actually this is what I wanted to do, I stopped doing all of those things.
Mm.
So you can't necessarily rush the process of, you know, finding yourself, because then you'll just force yourself into other things and you won't ever find yourself until it's like way late in life. So I just think the more mistakes you can make, it's fine. You learn from them. That's what mistakes are for. They help you to actually learn and become a better person. And in the process, you find yourself. Mm. That's my take.
That's a powerful answer. Yeah. And it's a powerful answer because a lot of people look at you guys and think that you have it all figured out based on what you put out there.
Yeah.
And it's always cool to hear that people don't have it figured out. Dash, your response to that question?
Yeah, I agree with Trevor, man. And I always say, like, if you look at social media, everyone's going to post when they did it right.
Yeah.
You know, and funny enough, that's what people want to see. They want to see the end results most of the time. But don't forget, like, every time in every story, there's a lot of mistakes that have happened. There's a lot of failures. So there's a quote that I always hear all the time. And I was like, no one's an overnight success, you know. But I think the one thing that we've encountered and we've had each other to back each other up is that we do make mistakes, man. And the first people that will tell you that you made a mistake are your boys. They'll be like, no, this wasn't cool. This was right. Try this, man. Keep this more, you know. So I think also people need to allow criticism and allow people to add a little bit of advice. Don't go around listening to everybody, man, but just, you know, open up more and try things, make mistakes, and then learn from them, and don't be too hard on yourself. You know, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah. With me, finding yourself has to be organic, you know. Don't, as the guy said, I agree with them. Don't force things, you know. Mm. For me, I studied marketing. I didn't finish that diploma. I started studying media at Boston Media House here in Joburg. And that's when I actually found myself. And during that course in my second year, I had to stop because the music had already picked up, you know. So things will come to you. And what I think is that you know what you want to do. Yeah. As much as you're still trying to find, you really know what you want to do. You're just scared, maybe sometimes. Mm. You're scared and you fear the things that are going to happen or what's going to happen with, like, from families, what people are going to say and all that stuff. People are really scared to do what they want, what I've realized. But it's actually, you just need to stop fearing and believing in what you do and working hard towards it.
You raise an interesting point, because in a day and age where, I mean, everything that you put out, anyone can now comment on.
Yeah.
Everybody has a platform. And I often wonder, should everybody have a platform? Should people that, you know, put hate out into the world and just see something and criticize it, should they have a platform? I don't know, because everybody can sign up for a Twitter account.
Yeah.
You guys are on a receiving end of this. The nature of hip-hop has always been that people want to criticize those who are doing great things in that space.
Yeah.
Is the criticism for you a fuel? Is it a negative thing? Should some people just not have Twitter accounts? What's the deal?
I think you can't really say some people can't have Twitter accounts.
So. No, you can, bro. you block the IP address.
You see, that's the thing, though. I feel like if you feel like somebody is really agitating or irritating you with whatever they're saying, then you just block them. But at the end of the day, for me, having criticism also fuels you to become better and to also become, like, you know, immune to people's negative comments. Because at the end of the day, why do you allow somebody else that is probably not doing half of the things that you are doing to have such an impact on you as a person and what you feel?
Mm-hmm.
How do you allow that person? You know, because for most people, it's not even genuine criticism. It's just hatred because they're seeing something or they don't like something, or they like something, but they won't admit that they like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do you allow somebody to actually influence how you feel? Whereas you know that there's so many other people that have a positive response to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Why focus on the one or two or three people that have negative things to say?
Yeah.
So I think for me, it helps you to build, you know, some sort of self-esteem, because then you can look at, we look at a lot of negative comments, you know, and we used to get touched about it and be like, oh, why is this person saying this? But then you realize, actually, why am I giving this person attention? Like, why? Don't even dignify it with an answer. Just leave it, man.
And it's like, never constructive criticism. Most of the time, most of the bad things that people say, it's never constructive. They never say, like, yo, you could do this or do that or whatever the case is. It's never constructive. It's just like, oh, you whack, whatever.
I think that's one thing that I wanted to just add. Like, that's what I learned also from just the design world, because everyone gets to, you know, have an opinion on your artwork and so forth. So what you learn is that how you filter it is, if a person's being negative but they add points to improve, then that person's actually out there and speaking the truth. If they come and say, no, this song, I don't like it because of the kick, and I feel like maybe the verses could be, then that person's being negative but they're building you.
Yeah.
Then coming there and just saying, no, you know what, actually these guys are whack, or these guys can't do it, you know, then ignore those, filter those out. Those are just random tweets, I guess.
Powerful advice.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap it up with this. Svungu Svungu, said again like a white person.
Svungu.
You got it right.
Means whirlwind or gale force wind. We're going to go around the room. I'm going to start with you, Seth. So you're going to tell me, what is Dash's superpower? What is his own version of his gale force wind? If he was a superhero character, what is it that he specifically brings to the table?
A whole lot of character. He's got a superpower character. Like, even in his rhymes you can hear he's got different characters. Even live, generally, he's just like a full of character person. So for me, it's character.
Do you agree, Dash?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Tell me about this Trevor guy, Dash.
Trevor. Well, I think one thing that we have over a lot of people is knowledge, man. Trevor's very knowledgeable, man. He's like very researched on all aspects of life, whether it's sports, music, man, because he's very opinionated. So.
Sometimes over-researched.
He's very opinionated. He's so strong, man, he can even like tell Google that Google's wrong.
Trevor, but every time we're like, okay, Trevor, wanna go on Google, is like, Google tells us the right thing. It's like, no, that's not right. Really? Huh.
So he'd be, who's this on X-Men, the guy that sits on the wheelchair? That's like,
ah,
who's
yeah.
That
guy? Isn't it X?
Professor Xavier.
Yeah. Professor X. Yeah.
Yeah. Professor Xavier.
See, he even knew.
Even you, exactly.
Except that Trevor, is that, way, a, is that a good
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. Ten generally I am that kind of person, so they got it. They chill with me all the time, so if anybody knows, they do.
Okay. Tell me about Seso.
Saso's the yes man. Saso's the one power. Person you can count on if you want to do something, anything. He will never say
anything is possible.
We can't do it. He'll never ever. You can say, Saso, I think we should do, we should go and stand on the clouds for 10 minutes and just, he'll say, let's do it. Let's find a way and let's do it. So I think that's one of his qualities. Also, he's a very strong person. Sasso doesn't really talk a lot, but he's very strong in terms of his action. He commits to what he wants to do and then he does it. Like, he's a very family oriented person, and even his family members genuinely like gravitate towards him because he's got a very strong personality.
Yeah.
Aww.
It's a nice thing to say, yeah. Everyone had nice things to say about everyone.
Bromance. Yeah.
You know what's interesting, speaking to the three of you? I mean, people attribute a lot to like the names of stuff. Even if you look at like what your name is, some people put a lot of emphasis and meaning on what your name might be and how that becomes a large part of your narrative or part of your story. And actually, there's something really special and really poetic about this name, Dream Team, that has a lot of meaning.
Yeah, for us, definitely.
Yeah, it's actually, and I wonder if you guys started, if you knew that that name was going to have such a meaning and play such a big part in your lives or not.
I think with the names that we've come up with, man, yo, they have such dope stories behind them, you know, from the mixtape being called The Blow Up, and actually that's when we blew up, and then even Dreams Never Die with the album and seeing our dreams really come to life, you know. The name Dream Team was basically based on one, our dreams and chasing them as a team, and then also the powers that we all have. It's like a dream to have a team like this, you know, because we're always sharing our dreams, like from business to music to whatever it is, man. We always share it with our brothers, our friends, our sisters, and they all play such a role in making sure that the next person achieves those dreams. You know.
It's power. It's a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, each of you got to give me the final line.
Of
whatever, bro. I'm not going to guide it. You're the artist here. You got one final line. What's the final line? And then we're wrapping this up.
Give him a line, Sasso. Give him a line.
You got a lot of lines, man.
Give me the last line. Whatever it is that you want people to leave the interview with, the final line.
I'll start.
Yeah.
Teamwork makes the dream work. True story.
Dig it. Power line.
Dreams never die in stores, online, everywhere.
That's also a power line.
Hey, man, I don't know. But dreams never die. That's about it.
That's it. There you go. It's a powerful word, dream. It's a powerful word, team. Put it together and you land up with the three of you.
Dream team!
Thank you so much for stopping by. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.